Plum Love Foods Live. Serious chef talk. Chef Plum.
I was a pro wrestler and a Laser Quest champion.
Chef Jeff.
People like me a lot.
Chef Dan.
Man, all that hard seltzer, man, got me bench pressing Yorkies.
Chef Rob.
I'm bougie.
The Hulkster.
Brother, I was at Arby's scarfing down a chicken cordon bleu.
Chef Dave.
I don't have AIDS. I have Lyme disease. It's different.
Plum Love Foods Live every Thursday at 10 p.m. on Spreaker Radio and podcasted everywhere.
I have no idea why people listen to this.
This collection of the greatest athletes in battle, traveling from one end of the United States to the other, is what big time is all about.
If you just shut the fuck up for 30 seconds, you might learn something.
Number one live digital audio industry show for chefs by chefs. Hosted by multi-time Food Network winner and award-winning chef, Chef Plum, and culinary veteran, star of the Food Saver commercial, Chef Jeff. So wrap, date, and rotate because the boys are about to set your mise en place. Here are the Good Brothers.
Oh, yeah. Thursday night, 10 p.m. on the East Coast, 7 p.m. on the West Coast. It's Plum Love Foods Live. It's your boy, Chef Plum, Chef Jeff. Jeffy, what's happening, brother?
Yeah, what up? Living the dream, you know me.
Oh, yeah, we're sitting here recovering from a very long day, which we're going to tell you guys all about here shortly. But tonight, you know, it's the holidays, Jeffy. It's festive time of year. I thought, well, I should say you thought, what a better time to bring our good brother, good friend from EerieLights.com, David Weatherly, on to talk all about weird Christmas shit, huh?
Yeah, well, you know, I just feel like I'm with the same old stories, you know.
Well, I mean, listen, there's tons of them when you look at it. You got the, you know, of course, the Santa's coming to everybody's house, but there's a whole lot more.
What's I want to know what's going on.
You know, we got Krampus and a couple other things, huh?
Krampus.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy, man.
Yeah, I'm excited. I think, and I, you know,
yeah. Honestly, it's just crazy. It's gonna be scary. It's creepy. It's funny, and the best part about the whole thing is, I don't even know if these things are real or where they come from. But the good news is David does know. So I'm excited to talk to David about that some tonight, Jeffy.
Absolutely. I'm super excited to talk to David. As always, he's a good brother, and he's a wellspring of knowledge when it comes to the occult. So let's get it on.
No doubt about it. But today, man, today was a lot of fun, wasn't it? We got to spend some time in a fantastic tavern at 8:45 this morning, huh?
Yes, we did. Yes, we did. Connecticut's beautiful. It's brisk, but it's beautiful. And met a bunch of really amazing people today. Got to finally meet our good buddy Scotty.
Oh, yeah. From Mac Media.
Shout out to Scotty at Mac Media. And
and you got to meet, you know, Stephanie from CT Bites as well,
thanks,
right?
Thanks for bringing us aboard. Stephanie from CT Bites. See our good sister Michelle is always amazing. And, you know, good times.
So what we did, you guys, is we started shooting the branded content piece that we're doing with Eli's Restaurant Group, the new show. The new digital series in partnership with CT Bites Elite Chef started shooting today. Our seven chefs came in and did their first competition. And, man, really fun to watch these guys jump in and really grab it, you know, by the horns and go, wasn't it?
Dude, I was super impressed and humbled to just be a judge to such amazing, chefs. It was just great.
They were working hard. They were cooking hard. It was just great to watch these guys in action, some of the things they were coming up with. But, you know, more importantly, which I think is interesting that I want to talk about here, Jeffy, was when you do competitions, right? Because, I mean, listen, there's all kinds of competitions. You could do a family competition at the house. You could be on Food Network. Like, you know, I've done it a whole bunch of times. You know, you could do a competition like a local one that we're doing here. I think where people make the biggest mistake, Jeffy, is they don't stick with what they know. They try to start working outside the box of what they're used to, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. I think...
Uh-oh, I think I'm losing you, Jeffy. Damn it.
want to impress people and they want to. Is it? Yeah, I'm having a really poor connection, guys. If anyone hears that, I'm sorry. I'm trying to figure it out, but it's just, you know.
It's all right. We'll get it fixed up. So what we're gonna do is, you know, we're gonna have these chefs there. We're gonna eliminate one each week from the competition itself till we get down to one winner, which we're really excited about. There's a lot of great prizes for the winner, and the whole thing is going to be airing. You know, you can see it online. It's going to be worldwide. We're going to do a whole social media blitz for it here very soon. The first episodes are going to air, I think, in early January. So we're going to be about two deep before they air. And we're excited. Basically, each one of these chefs is going to cook in a restaurant-style competition inside of a restaurant. Eli's has several of them, and each one has a different theme, so it's gonna be really fun to watch these chefs do things that maybe they're not quite used to. You know, that's what I'm excited about, Jeff. Yep, 100%.
I'm trying to answer. Can you hear me? Am I coming through?
Yeah, I got you.
Just push off on my. Oh yeah, everything you were saying, I wasn't sure if I was able to come through. I didn't want to be choppy.
Oh no, I didn't hear.
Yeah,
you said.
I'm super excited about everything you just.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I think the best.
No one knows this, but this is me and Plum's whole life. This is our life. I just want you to know.
Yeah, look, keep the phone away from the computer. That's what's messing you up. It's interrupting your signal. So listen, man, I think that one of the things that's going to be really fun to see how these chefs do in this competition is we're actually going to take a little bit of a break. So we're going to have a competition again next week as we're shooting, and we're going to let people know you can come to the competition and hang out. But we're going to be there, and then we're taking a break. So it's going to be fun to see how people get in that mindset of being in a competition to not being in a competition again, you know, I think, and then having to come right back into it after the holidays. Oh, Jeffy, here's your crickets. That's right.
I couldn't hear you. It was breaking up again. I just shut off my phone and shut down every other device in my apartment.
Let's run through the list. Did you restart your modem?
No, because it says I have 5 bars. I don't understand.
Yeah, I'm trying to be tech support for you.
No, this is really frustrating, and this is my life with you, I feel like. We get into a good conversation, and the phone dies.
Well, that's what used to always happen to us. We'd talk on the phone, we'd be talking for about 3.5 minutes, and then we'd lose service.
Yeah, we get 3.5 minutes of a joke, and then it just died.
That's it. That was our whole relationship.
Yeah. Yep. Very little got done back then.
Well, so far, so good. You haven't broke up on me yet again, so we'll go with it for now.
I see it just says poor. I'm getting the poor connection signal again. I don't understand.
Are you near your modem? Can you move near the modem?
I am, like, yes, I'm very close to it.
All right. Well, damn. Well, we'll see how it goes. We'll run with it tonight. And, you know, maybe we could, maybe all this talk about Krampus and these holiday not so nice people are messing with your internet signal tonight.
Could be. I was trying to come up with a song about the 13 children of the Christmas troll, and
didn't work out.
Messing with me.
Well, listen, Jeffy. So, what's Christmas like at your house, man? Do you have a lot of gifts? Do you have a lot of family? Do you guys travel? What do you do?
Well, I get some time off, and we have a blast. You know, I get to hang out with my family. You know, everyone. I work away from the family a lot, so when I get time off and I get to spend it with them, we just get together and we do all the Christmassy traditions. You know, we make a big dinner, try to have other family around. People either come down here, and if they don't, we go traveling and see them. You know, we usually make like pilgrimages around to see the people that I don't get to see normally.
Right. And for Christmas, what do you get?
You get nothing.
No, no.
You like, lose.
No.
Good day, sir.
Jeffy, he gets a present, I'm sure. What kind of... Do people give you gifts? What do you do? Your kids give you gifts?
My daughters are very excited about whatever they got me this year. I don't know what it is, but they keep telling me it's the best. So I'm sure it's like a Bob Ross t-shirt or something cool.
That's not bad.
No, I'm ecstatic for that kind of stuff. I'm always wearing like silly t-shirts, and I love that.
That's not bad. All right. Well, for me, Christmas for me is a week-long event, man, with the family and friends and people coming here, and we traveling to other people's houses. It's a lot of fun, man. And in my wife's side of the family does giveaway. It's like a grab bag situation for presents, and every year someone gets these very old, large underwear that have stains in them as a gift, and then we re-gift it every year. It's pretty funny, but usually that gift goes to something else. That's pretty cool.
What?
Yeah.
That's a pretty crazy tradition. I've never heard of that one.
Yeah, you track back in my Instagram, I was dancing in them last year. It was pretty funny. Because what else are you going to do, right? You got to dance in them. In my book, at least, you got to. I don't know. Well, check it out, guys. We're going to play a quick commercial spot. We're going to see if we can adjust some of Jeffy's connections there. And when we get back, we're going to be talking live to our good brother David Weatherly from EerieLights.com, talking all about weird Christmas monsters. Krampus. There's a bunch of them I can't even pronounce. There's also some weird German butcher monster. It's going to be exciting. Check it out. We'll be right back. You're listening to Plum Love Foods Live. Stay right there, folks. We'll be right back. Oh, yeah, Dave. Ergo Chef Knives. It's a great quality knife made by great quality people. And if my word's not enough, just ask guys like Myron Mixon, Guy Fieri, Michael Simon, and tons more.
Tell them you heard about them on Plum Love Foods by using promo code PLUM for a great discount on everything in your order. Knives so sharp, even the great city of Detroit approves.
Get some new gear at ErgoChef.com. Promo code PLUM, that's ErgoChef.com.
Come on, hon, of course we can eat here.
Oh, I don't think that's a good idea. They're closing in 5 minutes.
Don't be silly. They don't mind.
Really?
Two Top walking in.
Oh, no!
Are you tired of having that last customer walk in 5 minutes before closing? Is your station broken down and cleaned? Is it a Tuesday night and you have had hardly any covers? Well, don't worry. 5 minutes till closing can save the day. Just point the tube out of the kitchen and press the button. Shazam! The customer is gone.
Hey, dog, I don't know if that shit's right, but that shit works, son, you know what I'm saying?
Wow! 5 till closing gets me out of work right on time, every night.
So many happy clients.
When you need to get out,
5 minutes till closing.
Just press that button and listen for the shout. When you need to get out,
5 minutes till closing.
Just press the button and listen for the shout.
Sizzle Blade product.
Oh, that's right. It's a Thursday night here in December. December 12th, that is. We are 12 days away from Christmas Eve, Jeffy. 12 days. It's gone so fast, bro. So fast. So fast, and Jeffy's so fast, and here I am doing it so fast all by myself because Jeff's having a little bit of a issue with some of the connections, which is weird because my internet was going down earlier tonight too. I don't understand why. It's fine now, but it definitely was maybe something going around. I don't know. We're joined tonight by a good brother who we had on the show back in October during our Halloween series. He was a lot of fun to talk to. The guy is an expert. And I mean, listen, read his website. The gentleman's an expert in everything. But more importantly, he's great when it comes to great stuff like cryptozoology. We're talking all kinds of creepy crawlies that go bump in the night. You can find his information at EerieLights.com. Ladies and gentlemen, tonight, joined by our good brother, Mr. David Weatherly. David, good evening, man. How are you?
Jeff, how you doing?
Living the dream, brother. Having a great time. I apologize. We're having a little connection issues with Jeff. We're going to try to get that fixed as we're moving forward. But I figure you and I can get out here.
Dude.
Do it without him.
If you could get him, a text or something to tell him to restart his modem.
That's what I said. I was like, did you restart your computer?
Make sure the power's on. You know, let's start with the basics.
Is it plugged in?
Yeah.
Oh, God. Those days used to drive me nuts. You remember that when you have to call tech support? Are you kidding me? Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. David, great to hear your voice. Great to have you back on the program. We appreciate you taking the time to join us tonight. What's been going on with you since we last talked to you?
Oh, man. Lots of travel. I've got several projects coming out. So I've got a new book coming out right around Christmas, maybe just after, and it's called Monsters of the Last Frontier. It's a book about monsters in Alaska.
What?
And yeah, that one's really unique because there's so many native traditions and cultures up there. There's a lot of different First Nations groups up there, and they all had their own legends. And then, of course, you know, Alaska being really kind of the last frontier in some ways. You know, there's a lot of weird stories from the gold rush days and everything else. And of course, people don't think about how massive Alaska is.
It's huge.
You ever
right?
look at some point of a, you know, there's a there's an image online that shows Alaska superimposed over top of the lower 48, and it dominates, you know, like a huge chunk of
wow.
United States, continental United States. And you know, people have a hard time kind of wrapping their heads around that. And you go up there, I've been to Alaska a bunch of times, and it's just, it's a pretty amazing place. And I can't imagine living up there in that kind of a cold, you know, cold climate so much of the year, but there are some really beautiful areas up there, that's for sure. So anyway, that book's coming out around the beginning of the year. And got, like three other books in the pipeline. Can't really talk about too much yet, but they'll all be out next year. I've got a project I shot called On the Trail of UFOs. I'm not behind it. There's a guy named Seth Breedlove who's sort of the mastermind behind this. And
that name sounds
I'm
familiar.
One of the,
Breedlove. It sounds familiar.
He's done a lot of – he did a Mothman film. He's had some real success with films based on different cryptids in the U.S., independent filmmaker. And he's he did a movie on Boggy Creek. So some of the big ones. And then he started doing these miniseries. He did a little miniseries on the Trail of Bigfoot. And now his latest one is what he considers extremely ambitious. It's called On the Trail of UFOs. And they have traveled all over the country to film pieces. And he asked me to come on kind of as a commentator to sort of lead into a lot of this stuff. So it was great working with him. And there's actually a trailer out. There's a link on my website right on the front page. So you can check that out. It's just a couple-minute trailer. That comes out in, I think it's March. It comes out in the spring next year. And, oh, man, what else? You know, sometimes I'm so busy, I have to stop and think, I'm so busy, what am I doing exactly? You know, just so many different projects. But I love it. I'm you know, I always love what I'm doing.
Listen, that's the good thing. I was saying it today. Like, I've been working my butt off, but, you know, the things I got to do today, and just if you get to do that stuff that you love and – you know, it's not that bad of a deal, especially you can reflect on it, you know, on a day off or something. It's not bad.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. As long, you know, if you love what you're doing, then you'll never work a day in your life, right?
That's what they say, man. That's 100% what they say. And it's only taken me 40-some years to figure that out, but I'm there now, and that's good. That's all we can do. Hey, listen, so what are the holidays like around the Weatherly family? Like, what do you guys do? Is there a big family gathering, or are you out there with like a spear and loincloth trying to catch like Krampus? if you're doing that, if you're doing that, can my company film that?
No loincloth in my wardrobe. and no ancient underwear that we give out to people either, which apparently is a tradition somewhere else. But
I don't know who does that. The worst part of it, too, David, is someone took like a Three Musketeers bar and like smushed it into it. It's really gross.
Oh.
but usually there's another great gift buried with it, so I don't mind getting it every year.
That's worse than the fruitcake, though.
Hey, that's for damn sure. Sometimes I think it might have been a fruitcake smashed into it, but hey, that's not here nor there. Yeah. But what do you do for your family? What do you guys do? Do you get together, or are you traveling?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I usually try to be I try to pretty much stay close to home in December, January. You know, I'm still busy. I'm still writing and working on projects, but usually try to not travel very much. Occasionally, you know, just a short trip or something. But, yeah, try to make it family time, essentially, and take the time to reflect on the previous year and hey, be thankful that we're going into another year and everybody's happy and healthy, and if somebody's passed, and respect that and honor that. But I think that period of holidays, it's from Halloween through to New Year's, I think that's a really special time.
Absolutely.
I really do.
That's a really good way to word that, man. That Halloween time. That's a really good way to word that. Now, I apologize. I don't remember for sure. Do you have children or no?
Yeah, I do.
That's right. Yeah. I thought I remember.
It's of course extended family at this point, and just try to be, like I said, just try to honor the family and say, hey, we're all here together, and that's what's important.
Now, have you ever taken any of your family with you when you're going on an expedition or going to go, on doing some research?
No, I haven't. I'm kind of waiting to see if one of the kids follows in my footsteps, I guess, so to speak.
Yeah.
A couple of them do have a lot of interest in it. And, of course, my wife has no interest in the creepy stuff at all. She's like, nope.
But does she ever worry about you bringing that stuff home with you?
No, but I'm very careful about that kind of thing. So I have my own traditions, my own ceremonies and things that I do to ensure that nothing like that happens. And I do have, I have a very large office at my house, and I do have haunted objects in my office space.
Do you really?
It's an isolated part of the house. Are you kidding? I'm sitting here speaking to you at my desk, which is an antique banker's desk, and it's haunted.
The desk is?
Yeah, the desk is haunted.
Where did the desk come from? I know it's not what we're supposed to talk about tonight, but now you've got me curious. I love this stuff.
Yeah. It came from an old bank in Virginia, and it's I tried to get it dated, but the guy who looked at it wasn't even sure. But it's a really solid piece of material. There's solid hardwood, and it shows the signs of wear and everything. It's got the old banker's the alarm button on the side,
so the bank was getting robbed.
But of course, that hasn't worked in ages, technically. Although there have been a couple of occasions that it's went off.
Shut up! It just by itself.
And nobody can explain how, of course.
Oh my God! And your wife is okay with this being in the house?
Yeah, as long as it stays in my office. Yeah.
Oh man!
But that's a really mild thing, It's basically benign.
Well, listen, I think because you have this crazy stuff, that's why you trained in martial arts and all those things. You got to be there to at least try to do something, right?
I don't know how much good that would do you against a spirit, but yeah.
You can't armbar a spirit? I didn't know. Well, listen.
You sure try.
There's a place here in Connecticut where I live. It's this amazing old mental health place. It's called Fairfield Hills. It's no longer, mm-hmm. It's a bunch of abandoned buildings now. There's so many stories that go along with it. I've actually been working hard on trying to figure out if we can, at some point in time this coming year, I want to go broadcast from one of the buildings where they did a bunch of testing on people. So I think it'd be fun. If we can make that happen, we got to fly you up here to come hang out with us.
Awesome. Yeah, that would be really cool.
Why not, right? Let's see what happens. I know we're a chef podcast, but chefs get into weird shit. It's okay. And if things do go awry, trust me. There's none of us that you wouldn't want to have us, nobody more than us with you, because we won't leave.
Hey, we're all good. We'll be fine. But I was going to say, it's kind of funny. I meet a lot of people who are chefs or amateur chefs, and who are really into the supernatural.
Yeah.
It's one. There's two things, chefs and musicians.
It's the open mind thing, I think, man. Listen, chefs are incredibly open minded when it comes to people and things in the world. Like, we're just, everybody's a person, everybody has their own beliefs, and you work with so many different groups of people throughout your career that you just kind of learn to accept everything.
Yeah, I could see that.
That's my thought.
And, I think, it's cooking is kind of a creative art anyway, right? And
for sure.
people who are into the creative arts are more open-minded, and I think more open in general, you know, in spiritual terms and everything else too. So I think that's a big part of it.
Yeah, I think you're right on point with that, man, for sure. And especially musicians as well. It's just the artistic part of, you know, I think of, you know, the part of the brain that is more open to seeing it and being around it, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
So when it comes to the holidays, you know, I think every holiday has a lore behind it. You know, Halloween, of course, but I think all of them do. And I was doing a little digging for, you know, Christmas time. And David, there's some weird shit behind Christmas too, isn't there?
Well, there's tons of weird stuff behind Christmas, and you know, there's crazy stuff too. And I wanted to hit you guys up to see if you'd heard about this.
Please give it to me.
Now, when you, and maybe you guys have talked about this on the show, I don't know, but you know, when you think of the holiday seasons, of course, you think of different, you know, decorations and different foods and different
sure.
aromas, right?
Absolutely, of course,
are connected to. So, you know, what do you think of when you think of, like, Christmas smells?
Well, yeah, so, of course, I think of, like, the Christmas tree, the holly smell, you know, that mistletoe kind of Christmassy evergreen sort of smell.
Yeah, yeah. So, and we've got all these, you know, of course, the Yule logs, you know. And,
sure.
And they're, over the years, they've done all these scented Yule logs. Well, do you know about the latest one?
No, I'm scared to see what you're going to say to me right now.
This Yule log has become so popular. Apparently, they did it last year. It sold out completely out of the Walmart chain.
Okay.
This will make sense when you hear what it is. Walmart stores carried this log. It sold out in 3 hours last year.
Wow.
And it is a holiday log that you can burn so that your house will smell, you know, like a holiday scent. And the scent they chose,
I'm scared,
you would
David.
Never guess. You would never get. Take a wild guess.
Okay.
Just take a wild guess.
Holiday scents. I'm going to go with, we said the evergreen, so let's say like Christmas cookies.
Well, actually, the holiday scent is KFC.
Come on. Let's stop it.
They have done a KFC scented log for the fireplace.
Oh, come on. That's just ridiculous.
So your house smells like a bucket of chicken.
Get out of town. That's my house smells like a bucket of chicken. That's just ridiculous. Come on.
So, you know, people come over for the Christmas party and they say, what is that? Is that aroma? 13 herbs and spices.
11 herbs and spices. It's the Colonel's secret recipe.
Herbs,
I can't tell you.
Is, yeah, the Colonel's. Yeah. You know what's really freaky about this is that, you know what the traditional dinner, you'll probably figure it out now, the traditional dinner in Japan,
give it to me,
for Christmas? KFC.
Oh, my God. Wow.
Christmas time, Christmas dinner in Japan. The
Dude.
Family gathers around to a big old bucket of Kentucky Christmas.
Wow. Why would it be? I don't understand that. I don't understand why it would
there's
be.
No there's no turkeys in Japan.
I guess so. Huh?
So, Kentucky Fried Chicken, quite a few years ago, figured out, hey, we've got an opportunity here. So they
let's jump in.
They launched this huge campaign, and it's become so popular, apparently, that just like places here where people order their turkey in advance, Japanese families will go and order their bucket of KFC in advance to make sure they have it for Christmas.
Oh, man. That's just insane. Of all the things you were going to tell me tonight, I never would have guessed that.
Yeah, I told you I had some funny ones, too, you know.
Wow. How about that? Man, I'm going to try to find the KFC Yule log. I'm not going to lie. I kind of want to see what it smells like now.
Oh. Well, you got a very short window, apparently, to purchase one, so.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, but,
that's
but
insane.
Yeah, holiday foods, I mean, that's a whole bizarre thing, too, right? You look at different holiday foods from around the world, and those are weird, and those tie in with some of the traditions, of course.
Yeah. Wow. Jeff said he saw that KFC log on Instagram, actually, which is pretty funny. That is too funny. Coming in here to pinch hit a little bit while we're having problems with Chef Jeff. Our good brother Chef Dave is joining us. Dave, good evening, man. How are you?
Good. How you doing?
Say what's up to good brother David Wedley joining us from EerieLights.com.
Hey, Dave. How you doing?
Hey, Chef Dave. Glad you're joining us.
Dave, I just sent you his plugs, man. Would you mind throwing them out there for him before we get moving on this?
Yeah, let me check it out real quick.
This is called dead air, Dave. This is what happens. This is.
Yeah, I know. Well, here's the thing. Oh, okay. All right. I didn't see these texts. I'm sorry.
Oh, Jesus. Well, here you go. We're going to get you all the right. KFC Yule log, too.
I get a KFC Yule log?
You get one. I got to give him a little bit of slack because I'm bringing him into pinch hit here literally on the fly. So I got to give him a little slack.
Yeah, no worries.
A little bit. Not much. Not much. And he only gets a slack one time.
All right. You can find more out about David from EerieLights.com. And you can find him on all social medias at EerieLights.
That's it, man. So, David... What the hell is a Krampus?
So Krampus is, Krampus is kind of coming to a lot of people's attention now because of the last few years. It's grown in popularity. It's become kind of part of pop culture in some respects. This is a really old tradition from Europe. And it was found originally in the Alpine region, so Austria, Bavaria, but it also extended through into Eastern Europe, like Hungary, the Czech Republic, a bunch of other countries there. And it's really kind of fascinating when you start looking at this, because initial look, you look at this thing, and it looks kind of satanic, right? Or
devilish, yeah.
Because it's this large figure with these, big horns and a very sinister look. And the original depictions show this figure that is sort of human, sort of goat, sort of demon, kind of a blend of these different things. He would come in carrying usually a bag on his back, and sometimes he would have these large bells or chains. And there's a real kind of interesting thing when you start delving into the lore, because quite honestly they have trouble connecting all the dots for exactly how it evolved. It is a pre-Christian tradition from the Alpine regions, and it seems to be derived from the original pagan traditions of the area, and somehow has Christianity moved in and what we would define as regular quote Christmas traditions, this melding started happening. So originally we had this devilish figure that would come through town. They would do these parades, and it was sort of a way to really to scare off evil, perhaps, or to mock the evil forces. When the Christians came in, it was sort of introduced as an idea of the devil being bound. Because what they did was they linked Krampus to Santa Claus.
Yeah.
And they said, okay, well, Santa Claus is the gift giver, but Krampus is kind of the boogeyman. So he comes in, and he's got this bag on his back. Well, that bag is used to throw the naughty kids into and haul them off somewhere.
Oh, Jesus.
So, there are depictions of, you can see some old depictions of people dressed as Krampus, a guy dressed as Santa Claus, and a guy dressed as Krampus, and the Krampus is all kind of bound up, and that's this Christian attempt to say, oh, we're binding the devil.
Wow.
But there's indications that this goes back to early pagan traditions, some kind of perhaps initiation, right, linked to the horn god. Horn god is common in large parts of Europe, and it was linked to ancient pagan traditions, and it went down into modern witchcraft, even talks about the horned god. And there's different representations of him depending on what region you're in. He's Cronunnos, Hearn the Hunter. There's all these different representations. Sometimes it's just a pair of horns, sometimes it's antlers, like a stag. But we've got this weird melding that happened with these ancient traditions, ancient pagan traditions, and Christianity when it came in, and how the two overlaid. And of course, Santa Claus is kind of introduced anyway, too, right? Because, you know, the Christians tried to set up, Christmas is all about the birth of the Savior and everything else. And they were really trying to place that date in conjunction with ancient pagan traditions.
I thought Santa Claus came from Coca-Cola and those old commercials.
Say,
I'm kidding.
Actually, the modern representation of Santa Claus, that common image that everybody has in mind.
The white beard, the red jacket.
It came from a couple different things. A lot of historians say that, you know, the greatest impression was from the Coca-Cola, the classic Coca-Cola image of Santa Claus.
Right.
Because it's so consistent. If you look at earlier depictions of St. Nicholas or Santa Claus, you'll see a wide range of different attire. You know, it's not always a red suit. And, of course, the famous poem in Night Before Christmas gives us a very defined description of Santa Claus.
Yeah.
So the Night Before Christmas and then, you know, later the Coca-Cola ads, those two things gave people this common idea, this is what Santa Claus looks like, period. But you go back again to earlier tradition and different parts of the world, and you'll find variations on it. And some of the old depictions of Santa Claus, they're really incredible looking. It's sort of shamanic looking. He's kind of wild man looking in some way.
Yeah, I've seen that. He's not as big.
You're right. Yeah. So, you know, usually like a heavy coat, you know, with fur and you know, very natural elements, you know, with wood and cloth and everything. So not as polished as the modern depictions of Santa Claus that are so popular. But, you know, it's crazy when you start looking at different traditions from around the world and you see how Santa Claus ended up there, you know, in their traditions, but oftentimes it gets married into these older bits of folklore that people don't want to let go of, you know, because it's their roots. It's, you know, there's some kind of a cultural memory. There's this ancient something that people respond to when they see this Krampus procession.
Yeah.
You know, and they see this. I don't know if you've ever done this, but if you Google sometime, maybe I'll send you a link. There are these Krampus parades that happen.
I was about to bring that up to you right now. They call it the Eve of St. Nicholas Day in like Austria and places in Europe, mm-hmm. where literally it's like Krampus is walking the streets for people to beat up.
Right. Krampus Nacht. It's a Krampus night, essentially, is the night before St. Nicholas comes. And
now, let me just stop you, Dave, for one second, because I got to ask Dave, our co-host, our pinch-hitting co-host. He's from Detroit, and they do a lot of weird shit on weird nights. Dave, you ever had Krampus night?
No, there's no Krampus night. There's something kind of similar, but it's not anywhere near Christmas. It's the Nonderouge.
Nonderouge.
Yeah, and it's kind of like the Red Devil, and you chase him out of town.
You guys in Detroit are fucking weird, brother. Sorry. Man, that's interesting, man. That's crazy. But yeah, so they have parades for this guy, David, and they have people dressed up as Krampus, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And, you know, these guys will parade through. There's some amazing videos of these guys coming through playing instruments. And there's different views on what's at work here. You know, some people view it as, here come these devilish figures that are, maybe they're chasing away the negative energy before St. Nicholas comes in.
Okay.
Because, you know, the idea is that in the old days, Krampus would be used to kind of scare the kids, you know.
Right.
It's like, you know, if you don't behave,
Krampus will
find
you.
You're not going to get anything from St. Nicholas. Krampus is going to come and take you away.
Man, what a scary thought. I mean, it's funny what we do to kids, isn't it? Like, we're terrible people.
Yeah, but you know, Chef, Krampus is tame compared to some of the other weird figures that are attached to the holidays around the world.
Oh, boy.
Now let me tell you about Kefauver.
Whoa, which one is this?
I might be slaughtering this. It's French, and my French is not very good, but it's Pessetat.
Pessetat, okay.
It roughly translates to the father whipper.
What?
And this figure, you know, leave it to the French to come up with. And I watch my language. Well, maybe I don't have to watch my language.
No, you say whatever you want.
So leave it to the French to come up with this shit. This character he is an evil butcher.
I read about this guy. Yeah, keep going.
This guy would come in, snatch up the naughty kids, take them back to his butcher shop, chop them up, salt them down, and have them for dinner. So, you know, I'd take Krampus any day over this. So the legend, the legend with this character is that that he had, and sometimes his wife is part of this. Sometimes it's a couple, you know, but or sometimes it's just the wife. But either way, this figure has snatched. He's lured the three boys away, presumably naughty boys, and taken them to his butcher shop. He has killed them and salted them down to prepare his meal when St. Nicholas comes to the rescue.
Yeah.
St. Nicholas comes in, and he resurrects the boys, and he binds the butcher.
So Santa Claus rolls up with a reindeer with a glowing nose on a sleigh to the butcher shop.
Yeah, that's right.
He's like,
yeah, this is you know, ancient France, so it's probably more the wild man looking, you know, French Santa Claus who rolls in.
I love it.
Binds this evil butcher, and from that time forward, the butcher's job is to dispense punishment to bad children.
That's fucking terrible. So the butcher's a serial killer who's also a cannibal.
Yeah.
Merry Christmas, Dave.
Who now works for Santa Claus.
This is just like some just weird, like, empire. Yeah, this is evil.
But so a lot of these things, though, David, some of these stories, I mean, there's got to be, you know, you go back to any of these stories, they're based in truth in some capacity. It's almost like the old game, telephone game in kindergarten, where the story gets told so many times, it's changed so many different ways. In research and things that you've done, is there any kind of, like, hint of truth to any of these stories? Like, it came from some butcher who supposedly did something, or, I don't know, is there some kind of, like, you know, well, it could have kind of happened this way.
Yeah, that one in particular, I have not found the origin of. But I absolutely agree with you, because it's my belief that, you know, all of these folkloric representations, they started somewhere. I don't think that someone just, you know, sat down and had a cup of coffee one day and thought, you know, I'm going to create a story about a really screwed up butcher that,
right.
you know, eats kids. No, it came from some original incident, some something, right? So, you know, Krampus is one of the ones that a lot of research has been done on, and a lot of attempts to kind of trace the origins back, and there's sort of different threads that feed into Krampus. So I mentioned earlier the, you know, the horned god,
yeah,
of early pagan traditions, which clearly is a heavy influence on Krampus as it comes in. And the whole idea of Krampus, you know, kind of rolling around with all these chains and looking like he's been, you know, like he just escaped out of some dungeon or something, right? That's kind of what it looks like. And there's that idea that the Christians introduced to say, oh, this is evil, but we've bound it. It's under control. So this theme kind of plays out in a lot of these things, you know, just like with this butcher, what happens in the story, St. Nicholas is the hero. He comes in and he, quotes, binds the evil butcher. So, you know, that's a common theme too, but surely the original stories came from somewhere. And that's, you know, I love delving into all this folklore. It ties in so much with different paranormal and supernatural events. And
yeah.
I find that there's always some core of truth that started this. You know, it came from somewhere. So it definitely is, you know, from something that's real. How accurate it is, that becomes very difficult to say, because, like you're saying, over time, it kind of becomes telephone. It morphs and it changes and it evolves to a certain degree. But some things, you know, like this butcher legend, it hasn't really changed a whole lot.
Yeah.
Krampus hasn't changed a whole lot. It's fascinating for me to witness the sort of, I'm going to say, the rise of Krampus the last few years, because all of a sudden, you know, I knew about Krampus for ages. And, you know, all of a sudden in the last few years, there's Krampus parades starting in the United States. There's, you know, I got a card sitting here on my desk that a friend sent me, a Krampus card, you know, this month. And so, you know, there's all these crazy things that are starting to take hold in terms of Krampus. And, you know, I think it's because people resonate with something that's there, something at the core of these legends. And, you know, this folklore, we're seeing it. We're literally seeing the evolution of Krampus, Jeff, because, you know, here we are in modern times, and it has been revived, and it keeps being revived in a really crazy way. So, you know, a few years from now, Krampus celebrations may be a very normal thing, just like Christmas.
Crazy, man. Crazy. Man, what a crazy story with Krampus and a butcher. Dave, tell people where they can find some more info about our good friend David here.
You can hear more about, or you can find out more about him at eerielights.com and all across social media at eerielights.
That's it. So, David, what about, I was reading one about a guy named Hans Trapp. Again, it's another French situation. Have you heard of this guy?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. You know,
you really got to wonder what the French were into, you know, back
Yeah.
when they came up with this stuff. So Hans Trapp it's kind of similar, actually, to the butcher. Now, this one, I think, is pretty definitely based on an evil person. A real person, because when you read the early versions of the tradition, they all say that he was originally a real man who was rich and greedy.
Like a rich guy, right?
Right. So he was very sort of a sinister character. He worshipped power and wealth and purportedly, you know, satanic forces. And because of that, he was excommunicated from the Catholic Church. And he, not only that, he was exiled from the village. So he ends up living in the forest. And again, he kind of transforms. He becomes sort of this almost a sort of bizarre wild man figure, because they say he resembled a scarecrow.
Like a scarecrow,
that he had,
right.
You know, this ragged clothing and that straw would jut out from parts of the clothing. But he did the same thing as the butcher. He would catch children and haul them off into the forest and eat them.
What the hell is wrong now, with the French, David? Why are they always eating kids?
Yeah, well, it makes me hesitant to order anything over there that I'm not familiar with, I can tell you that. But, you know, this guy, now, he wasn't captured by St. Nicholas. In this case, it was God who struck this character down by killing him with lightning.
Wow.
And he's resurrected as, you know, sort of a boogeyman figure. He is said to visit young children before Christmas in order to scare them into behaving.
I think, like, maybe French kids were just really misbehaved children. Is that what the case is here? Like, they were just really bad, and so these parents came up with these stories to scare the shit out of them around Christmas time.
Well, I mean, if you think about it, they're like walking around drinking wine, smoking cigarettes.
That's true. I mean, we're talking about the Alsace area, which is a fantastic, and Lorraine, great wine areas.
Right.
In France.
Well, they probably don't like to... and that's where Hans Trapp, that's the reason he came from Lorraine.
Yeah, that's the same... That's what I was thinking. It's a great wine area, man. Lorraine. I mean, it's amazing, these stories, and you hear them. It just feels like, can't we just have a holiday with a great, happy Santa Claus that comes and visits kids? And, you know, it's fantastic. Nope, the French got to come with a bunch of crazy butchers who are eating children. I just don't get it. I just don't get it. There's another one I was reading about. I might butcher the name here. Frau Puchata. Perchata?
Oh, yeah. From Austria.
Yeah. What's the story about this guy?
So this one... this is a witch.
Okay.
This is a female figure.
Yeah, oh.
Frau is female. So... there's a couple of these figures. So this one is you'll love this. Actually, let me tell you about another witch first. It's a little bit more pleasant. There's a witch in Italy, a Christmas witch in Italy called La Befana, or just Befana.
Okay.
And this is the Christmas witch. And the Christmas witch, there's nothing really sinister about this figure, other than the fact that she's depicted as a very ugly old witch figure. She comes in, and she's the one who brings the gifts to Italian children. Yeah, so... You know, this goes back. It's not all over Italy, but it's in regions, and it's interesting because you can find, you know, little handmade figures and stuff of La Befana, and you know, it looks like kind of like we would think of a Halloween witch in the United States.
Like the, you know, big this, pointy hat,
witch with the exaggerated nose and riding on a broom, you know, and coming in and would fill the. I think they left socks or shoes out, which they did in a lot of Europe, for La Befana to come in.
Wow.
And she was a good witch. She was a good witch. She would come in and bring presents.
What kind of gift would a witch bring?
That's a good question. I don't know whether it was any defined thing that she would bring specifically, but, you know, just like other Santa Claus traditions, just whatever gifts were, you know,
maybe
for the time, I guess.
Maybe someone saw like their like old ass grandma putting presents under the tree, and they're like, "That's a witch."
Hey,
well,
it could be. Usually, things are based in somewhat truth.
Yeah,
it's not so pleasant in Austria and Germany.
Oh,
when the witch comes in,
what happens there?
Because, well, she's depicted also as a very ugly, hideous witch figure, but she is known for her gruesome punishments.
Oh.
And in particular, she was fond of coming in and catching sinister, ill-behaved people, you know, misbehaved children, people who were not so good prior to the holiday. And what she liked to do was to reach in with her hand and rip out the internal organs.
Fantastic.
And then replace those organs with garbage.
What the?
And then send the person on their way.
What? I mean, I have a lot of questions here about this and how it actually works. I'm just... If we can get one of these people on the phone, I want to ask them a couple of questions. Man. I mean, and I don't know if you've ever seen garbage in Austria, Dave. It's disgusting. I'm kidding. I have no idea. Wow. I mean, these stories are just crazy. Like, I don't understand why we can't just have a great holiday story, you know? A great holiday time. It's just... It's got to be something, right?
Hey, I know. It's Christmas. We have... Stop and think for a moment. What's probably the most famous ghost story?
Well, I'd probably say the Bible.
Nah, man. What is it? The Christmas Carol or...
Oh, exactly. The Christmas Carol.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's true.
I mean, the Bible, yeah, there's a lot of weird stuff in the Bible. Right? That's a whole couple of shows right there. But,
yeah, I probably should have said that, huh?
we've got a Christmas Carol. And, you know, that is just an incredible ghost story.
You're absolutely right.
For decades, you know, it was always a tradition. It's an ancient tradition to tell ghost stories at Christmas time.
Really?
And that kind of went away. That tradition went away. And then it sort of got resurrected when Dickens wrote A Christmas Carol, because it was such a popular story. And even now, I mean, every December, I mean, you can, my gosh, how many versions of The Christmas Carol can you see?
The Disney, you know, one is one of my favorites. You know what else is one of my favorites? Yeah. Scrooged with Bill Murray. What a great freaking movie.
Oh, that is fantastic, isn't it?
It's a great movie. That's amazing. I love that movie.
Fantastic. Yeah.
Man.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't think about it. You're right.
Yeah, so it's an amazing Christmas story. I mean, Christmas story and ghost story, and it's got a really positive ending.
Yeah, it really does. It has a great positive ending on that. That's crazy, man. So, David, let me ask you.
I'll give you that. I'll give you that before I tell you
okay.
that you probably want to stay the hell out of Iceland around Christmas.
Oh, Dave, we might need to cancel our trip. All right, David, why?
Well, Iceland has a lot of different Christmas-related characters. My favorite is the Yule Cap.
I've heard about this. Yeah, tell us about it.
So, guess what the Yule Cap does? It eats kids.
What is with these people? Why is everybody eating kids? I mean, are we missing out? Is there something delicious that we don't know about?
So the creepy, the weird thing with the, well, and really some of the versions you read of the Yule Cat is not just kids that are in danger. But the thing with the Yule Cat is he watches out for people with old clothes on.
What?
So the tradition there is that if the children had done all of their chores and done all of their work prior to Christmas, then they would get new clothing to wear. You know, at least one new item of clothing.
Right.
Depending on the wealth of the family. Now, one of those kids caught outside with old and ratty clothing from head to toe, the Yule Cat was going to say, well, there's a lazy kid and there's dinner.
Holy
shit. This creature is depicted as a giant sort of creepy looking cat, and you see different artistic representations of it, and it's really weird because some of them make him look almost like a giant Cheshire cat, you know, from Alice.
Yeah.
Some of them make him look more ferocious, but you know, he was said to lurk in the hills all around the villages and just you know, bide his time for the holidays and you know, the lazy kids that come around.
Man, this is just insane. I'm just curious, David, would you bring the family around to, you know, read a Night Before Christmas to them, but instead of that, you would tell them about the Yule Cat or maybe Fra Perchetta or Krampus? Is that what you would tell your kids, these stories? Is this the issue we have?
Oh, my kids know about these stories.
Of course they do. Joined tonight by our good friend David Weatherly from EerieLights.com. He's given us some great insight. He's got all kinds of books. The man's got over 25 books now, right, David?
Yeah, that's about right.
Man, you can catch them on Amazon. Some great stuff. The guy is a master of cryptozoology, and the good news is he's a trained ninja, so he gets their spirits, he can armbar them. Let me ask you this. If we met up with this Yule Cat, David, would you feel confident you could take it to the ground?
Oh, take it to the ground? Yeah, I
want
to catch it.
Hell yeah, I'm catching that shit. I love it. All right, David, you got one more for us? One more crazy Christmas legend?
You know, we didn't finish with Iceland, and that's probably a good note to finish off on, because imagine this. The Yule Cat's not the only thing that eats people or kids in Iceland.
I never would have guessed.
There's also an ogress.
What?
Fuck yeah.
Who loves to snatch away, misbehave children or children who don't obey, and what do you think she does?
She makes soup, doesn't she?
She does, so that she can so that she can feed the Yule lads.
Come on.
which are originally appear to have been based on the Icelandic trolls. So the Yule lads were 13 specific Icelandic trolls, each with their own personality and name and you know, different traditions that are around them. And originally the 13 Icelandic trolls were used as sort of boogeymen too, because they would say, you know, the parents would say, look, you know, you better behave or one of the 13 trolls is going to come and snatch you away and take you back to their mother, you know, for soup or feed you to the cat.
Wow. Wow.
So, you know, what we've learned tonight is that the French And the people in Iceland.
Yep, I'm not going to Iceland. I'm not going to France. Dave, put that in the notebook. We're not going to either of those places for Christmas this year.
Oh, man. Like, I had a surprise I was going to tell you, but...
David, man, it's always a pleasure talking to you, brother. We really appreciate it. You guys, check out EerieLights.com, and of course, follow David at EerieLights on social medias all across. He's got a good Facebook following too. Some great stuff happening on the Facebook page, and of course, on Amazon, you can find all the books. The brand new book, all about Alaska. Dave, when's that coming out?
Probably around the first of the year.
First of the year. Check that out. I want to talk to you more about Alaska because I love Alaska, but that sounds like a whole other topic in itself.
Hey, I'm always happy to come on with you guys.
You are the man. Happy holidays, my friend, to you and your family for sure. We appreciate the time, good brother, and we look forward to talking to you on down the road.
Same to you, brother. You have a good one now.
You're a good man, dude. We'll talk to you soon. All right, Dave. Bye. There he goes. David Wesley from EerieLights.com. That dude's awesome, isn't he?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I learned that Christmas isn't about like cookies and warm fuzzy memories around the fire. It's about terrifying and eating children.
Eating children, apparently. I mean, he just kept going about eating kids. It was crazy.
Is it like is Christmas time like when children are in season? Is that peak season? Is that why they're being eaten by all these demons? And
yeah,
trolls?
I guess I think you're right on point there. It's peak season for children.
Makes sense.
Good brother David Wesley, we love that guy. You got to check him out. That's his second appearance on the show there, by the way, Dave. How about that? The guy, he reached out and we're like, absolutely.
That's awesome. Yeah, because he was on in October too, right?
Yeah, in October, telling some creepy ass freaking stories. You know, I mean, that guy, you should see, look at his website, you guys. If you haven't checked it out, EerieLights.com. Check him out there. This guy is, I mean, he's pretty freaking amazing, the stuff that he's done. I mean, I'm not even lying when I was joking about him being a ninja. No joke, he's like ninjutsu, Qui-Gon, all kind. He's trained in so many martial arts. It's crazy.
That's what's up. He's going to need it to, like, fight the...
That's what I was saying. I was like, can you put the spirit in the arm bar? He's like, I don't know if it's going to work. I'm like, well, bro, we need something here, okay?
Well, I mean, the trolls from Iceland, it might help with that.
And the fucking cat, right? Take him to the ground.
Yeah, kick it in the throat.
Holy shit. EerieLights.com. Good friend of the show, David Wesley. The guy's incredibly well known for what he does, and we appreciate his time tonight, man. It's so fun. Dave, thanks for jumping in and pinch hitting with us.
No problem.
Jeffy's going to be moving into a new apartment soon. I think he's having some internet issues because of that.
All right. No
he's
worries.
Listening right now, so shout out to Jeffy.
Is he listening?
I love him very much.
Just listening. Just let me, you know, my back hurts, Jeff. It's from carrying your weight tonight.
Damn. Ouch. Wow. How about that? Well, listen, it's been a long day, so we're going to get on down the road here very shortly, but we couldn't get on down the road this time of year as we continue our cherished tradition of our Christmas gifts with Chef Dave. Dave, you got a couple of gifts for us? What do you think? You can give us a little rundown of some holiday gift ideas for chefs?
Yeah, I got like a couple here. Let's see.
Well, here's the good news. Since you have some, I have this sounder I have to play, and then we can talk about them. Are you ready?
Sounds good.
Let's do it. It's that time of year again, and Chef Dave is here to help you get that perfect gift for the cook in your life. It's Santa Dave's Holiday Gift Guide. Take it away, Dave. All right, take it away, Dave. What's your first holiday gift?
It's from mushroomadventures.com, and it's a shiitake mushroom growing kit.
Okay, that sounds cool.
Yeah. I mean, it pretty much comes set up. They're like these little cakes. I'm guessing the spores are injected into these cakes, and you just add water, and approximately grows like 2 pounds of shiitakes over a 4-month period of time.
Wow, that sounds kind of awesome. I thought for sure when you said a mushroom growing kit, we're going a whole different direction.
I don't need a kit for that.
All right, that sounds awesome, Dave. Where can we find this mushroom growing kit? Because I might want one for Christmas.
Legit. You can find it at mushroomadventures.com.
Wow, how about that? All right, mushroomadventures.com. We should reach out and tell them to give them a plug. That's awesome. Grow yourself some shiitake mushrooms in 4 months. Not bad.
Definitely.
What else you got for us?
And then since, you know, we have life outside of the kitchen, Dixon flannels, man.
Wow, you're going with, like, real gifts here, huh?
Yeah, you know what? You're like, think of stuff that, like, chefs would want. And I was like, well, I cook. and this is kind of shit that I would want. So why not just throw it out there?
Well, this is interesting because I was looking for, people are asking me for gifts, and I'm like, I want the mushroom kit, and you know what? I wouldn't mind a couple of flannel shirts. Talk about the flannels.
Well, actually, tomorrow they have like these pop-up limited shirts that they're going to be doing for Friday the 13th, and you can check it out on their Instagram.
And are you kidding me? Tomorrow is Friday the 13th, and we didn't even fucking ask David about that?
Yeah, we probably should have, right?
God, damn it.
The fact that the full moon did like this 12-12-12-12 thing or whatever.
Okay, that's a whole other story itself. So great flannel shirts. And where do we get those at, Dave?
DixonQuality.com. That's D-I-X-X-O-N quality.com.
For great flannel shirts, right?
Yeah, definitely.
Give us one more, Dave. What else you got for us tonight on your holiday gift-giving guide?
What was the third one? Peyote.
What?
Yeah, why not?
Holy shit.
Sometimes around the holiday, you just need to find something extra about yourself. And okay, what's a better way to do that than peyote?
Holy shit, Dave. Is there a website we can buy peyote from, Dave?
I don't know, but if anybody's listening and knows if there is a website, just send it to me in my DM.
Oh my god. Dave's holiday gift guide. He wants a mushroom growing kit, some flannel shirts, and peyote. That's a great Christmas under the tree for Chef Dave.
Yeah.
Holy shit. Well, those are great gifts. 2 out of 3 I think I'm down with. I think I'd love to have some new flannel shirts, and I would love to have a mushroom growing kit. That sounds amazing. How much is that mushroom kit? Have you checked out how much the price is on that?
Actually, I haven't. It seems like it's different pricing based off of how much you get.
Okay. All right. All right. Well, that sounds awesome, man. I'm looking forward to it. Jeffy, do we have you with us, or are you not really there? Yeah, I don't think we have.
Hello?
Oh.
I can try to talk. I can try to talk, but it's breaky.
Well, we'll try. Jeffy, Dave came correct tonight with a mushroom growing kit and flannel shirts. That sounds like a good idea.
I think flannel shirts and mushroom growing kits are for hipsters and homeschooling moms.
Wow.
Are you salty? Because I'm like, look, you owe me a back rub for one.
What?
All right. First of all, I don't owe you a back rub. I owe you a big hug.
Okay.
And, no, I and you guys, it was awesome show. I'm sorry I'm having such a shitty, I don't know what the hell was going on. It just kept just cutting out for no reason.
Yeah, don't worry about it. It happens. It happens. We handle it. I brought Dave into pinch hit. I figured he could handle it.
Yeah, no, he got it. The third or fourth plug was really great.
Third or fourth plug.
Yeah, you know, I'm a little rusty. It's been a minute.
It's all right. It's all right. But you gave us some great holiday gifts. Jeff, you can hate on Dave all you want. I think some flannel shirts, a fucking mushroom growing kit, and some peyote sounds like a really nice freaking morning under the tree to me.
Yeah, and you know what? You can put the peyote button in the fucking pocket of the shirt.
All right. First of all,
Jeff, where are
you? You're selling flannel from a freaking website with 2 X's in the goddamn name. I can't take you. What is wrong with you, dude? You fucking Brooklynite. Get over that shit.
Oh, shit.
My God. Flannel from a place with 2 X's? At least buy it from, like, a real fucking store.
It's coming out of... Dude, the company's
He's
based
angry.
Out of California.
Okay, whatever. Anyway, and then you save the day with the peyote. Excellent idea. I love losing my fucking mind on a holiday. And I think, you know, I'm all in.
Oh, my God. Well, listen, this holiday gift guide keeps growing, and you got to check us out every week. We're going to have Dave's holiday gift guide every week leading up to Christmas. Take notes. Get that chef in your life, that cook in your life, that person who loves to make food in your life a fantastic gift by checking out Dave's holiday gift guide right here on Plum Love Foods Live. Dave, I thought that was a pretty decent gift guide today.
Yeah, if I got those 3 things, I'd be like, that's what's up.
That's what's up. All right.
I'd be like, thank you for this. I mean, you know, grateful.
Jeffy, I know you were listening in. Did you hear how many of these freaking monsters eat children in France and Austria and shit for Christmas time?
Yeah, I absolutely did hear that. I was disappointed that you didn't bring up the 13 children, except, I mean,
David
doorway
did.
Sniffer alone was worth a mention. Just saying.
David brought it up.
Did he bring up the doorway sniffer?
Oh, he brought up all that shit.
He mentioned, see, maybe it was breaking up. I missed it, and that's sad to me because the whole time I was looking forward to talking about those 13 lads.
We got a fire email off to him. He was really fun to talk to tonight, man. I love that guy. I love he's becoming a regular on our show because he's actually, if you don't know, check him out, eerielights.com. He's kind of a big deal in his field, isn't he, Jeff?
Absolutely. He's one of the leading occultists in our country, and he travels all over the world to do talks, and he's on TV shows on Discovery and Travel Channel, and I mean, you name it. He's written everywhere. So many freaking books. I mean, he's really a master storyteller. That's what I tagged him as on our IG, and I really believe that. I mean, if you read some of the stuff he says, he really gets into the meat of all the stories, and it's really cool. I mean, it's great guy. I'm super happy he's become a friend of the show. Good brother.
Yeah, definitely, 100%. And listen, this coming year, I'm trying to get us all to go do a show at Fairfield Hills. I want to get it officially, after the town, okay, and we'll do an overnight show there, I think, is what I want to do. And if we can get a sponsor, we'll fly David up to hang out with us. It'll be really fun.
I love it. What is Fairfield Hills again?
Oh, you seen it in my town. It's that psychiatric ward place that got shut down.
Why the fuck do you want to go there?
Because it'd be fun. I want to bring David, us, and our good friend, our good psychic friend with us.
All right, we can bring a grill. We can cook and make snacks.
Yeah.
Don't you know this is a fucking bad idea?
This is a great idea.
You start.
No, yeah. you get s'mores out of it.
And David is a ninja.
Yeah.
Ninja or not, dude, the fat guy dies first. I might as well.
Which one? We're all kind of chubby, bro.
I'm not.
Yeah, but I have the biggest belly out of the crew. I really believe that.
I don't know, man. I'm kind of like equally fat throughout my whole body. I'm like a giant fucking rectangle.
Just like swollen, a little swollen everywhere.
Dave looks like a melted ice cream cone.
Dave,
I'm sorry, Dave. I'm sorry. That was really shitty. I apologize.
Shut up, dummy.
Like, do you remember those like the Mr. Shape books?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd be like Mr. Rectangle.
Mr. Rectangle.
Look, I think it'd be a lot of fun to do a live show, a 24-hour live Plum Love Foods, where it's live on Facebook, Instagram, etc., and we're in this haunted place grilling burgers and hanging out with freaking David and Patty. They're with us, and the weird shit's happening. How fun would that be?
Are we getting body cams?
Hell yeah, we are. Whatever you want. We'll get all that shit.
A body cam, and then one of those like ectoplasm things, and some other shit.
People go crazy after shit like this. They go home.
What the fuck, Jeff? Would you walk a mile away and start talking to us? You're live on a program. Where the hell did you go?
I'm sorry, guys.
English, motherfucker, do you speak it?
Yo, I don't know. I don't know. Sorry.
You get nothing. You lose. Good day, sir.
Dave, you're going with me.
Yeah.
We're making this happen.
Graham crackers and chocolate. And
hell yeah.
Guys,
a little grill.
Guys, this is like how Friday the 13th starts. Like, this is like how all those movies
in 45 minutes is how Friday the 13th starts. That's not.
All right. There's other things that start this way. There's got to be movies that I feel like, you know, let's go to the house, guys, and we'll do this thing. And, you know, you're an empath, so you'll get scared because you'll feel other people's fear, and then we'll have Patty there, and she's going to be talking about like that creepy voice that hits her when she's doing that thing.
That does happen. That's true.
I'm going to be praying to Jesus, probably in tongues, because I get worked up in those situations, which is going to get everybody else worked up.
And you guys could do all that shit. Meanwhile, me and Dan are going to be getting geared up to take on some fucking animals. We're gonna crush these
like
monsters.
What? We don't have plasma guns. That's only in the movies.
Okay, first of all, you've never looked in my garage, so don't assume shit, all right? It's not fair. You can't come in here. You can't be gone the whole show and then come in here assuming things. Right, Dave?
I mean, this is between y'all.
You don't know what I got. I got things in the garage. My best friend Dave knows what I've got.
Yeah. Word.
So, Jeffy, I think you should apologize.
Shut up, dummy.
Where'd he go? That was a great impression. That was a great impression, Jeff. You did a really good job with that one.
Of course, his internet was working fine. The shit just cut out on him again, probably.
Yeah.
Oh, that was so funny, man. All right, check it out. We need to get on down the road here. Listen, Dave, thank you so much for pinch hitting tonight, man. I really appreciate you jumping in here and grabbing the ball and helping out when Jeffy's having some technical issues.
Anytime, man.
And again, Dave, tell him, Erie Lights, tell him where to find more about our good brother David.
All across every social media board at Erie Lights and ErieLights.com.
That's it, ErieLights.com. You got to check him out there. No stress about that. Find him there. And, of course, hey, get yourself a gift for your chef buddies. Get a flannel shirt, a mushroom situation, or some peyote, right, Dave?
Yeah, get him the fucking peyote.
Is there a website for peyote? I mean, where do we find that?
I haven't found one yet.
Are you Googling it now?
I've been actively searching all day.
Oh my God.
I was going to get a bunch of peyote and make everybody jars of jam and just be like, Merry Christmas.
Peyote jam? Is that a thing?
That's where Pearl Jam got their name from.
Wow. Dave, sometimes you surprise me with your useless knowledge.
Pearl Jam was semen.
Shut up, Jeff. Fucking Jeff is still here. God damn it.
Shut up, dummy.
Is that not real? Pearl Jam is not semen?
Damn it. No, shut up, Jeff. It's Grandma Pearl's peyote jam.
Okay, terrific.
Really?
Yes!
Wow. How about that, Jeff? We thought we lost you. All of a sudden, you showed back up.
Well, I was yelling, but my fucking internet's out. It's like it's going in and out. I'm like, you can't... It's tough for a pimp over here.
Here's the problem. The whole time with Dave, when we brought him on the show, I forgot to hit this.
You're the best around. Nothing's gonna happen.
Wow. Who saw this coming? All right. Well,
Dave, how you doing, man? Welcome to
the program.
Doing pretty good, man. Doing pretty good.
Hey, yeah. Check him out. ErieLights.com, our good brother David Weatherly. You can check him out. You can Google him. You can also check him out on Amazon. Type in Erie Lights or our good brother David Weatherly. That's
W-E-A-T-H-E-R-L-Y.
L-E-Y, excuse me.
No,
on,
L-Y.
That's what L-Y. I said, L-Y on Amazon. It's got a bunch of books. Check him out there. He's got a brand new book coming out all about monsters of Alaska. I want to get into that, too. Maybe we should go to Alaska, Dave. Would you go?
Yeah, I'll go to Alaska, fight a fucking grizzly bear.
No, we're not fighting grizzly bears. We're fighting, like, abominable snowman.
All right, well, you got to, like...
I think those are snow-covered grizzly bears, but yeah.
What's up?
I think an abominable snowman is just a snow-covered grizzly bear.
Like, how do you beat an abominable...
Love that one.
That's so fun.
Shut up, dummy.
Listen, it's an abominable snowman, Jeff, okay? It's scary. It's a monster.
But what if the way...
I recently looked these up.
Did you? And what'd you find out?
Well, they think it's probably just snow-covered pandas. Because, pandas, they don't hibernate. They just walk around all the time in the snow and shit. And then they get
shut
all
up,
covered
dummy.
In ice and snow.
Shut up, dummy.
I'm not going to shut up. You shut up.
English, motherfucker, do you speak it?
That's a really good one. Look, here's the thing. I don't believe in anything. There's panda bears out in the fucking Alaska, number one. Dave and I are going to find two things this next year coming up. We're going to go out with David. Cool. We're going to go to freaking the scary mental health institution that's been closed down for a couple of years. That's clearly haunted, and everyone knows it. Then we're going to Alaska, Dave. We're going to find the abominable snowman. Are you in?
What if we don't need to fight it? What if we just need to accept it who it is in order to beat it because we've warmed its heart?
Do you want to make it a burger? Make it a s'more?
Yeah, and give it a hug.
I'm in. We can definitely make that happen.
What, like in Rudolph? You think it's like the Rudolph one?
Yeah, maybe it just needs a fucking tooth pulled, Jeff.
You are aggressive, Jeff.
I'm just trying to figure out what you guys are talking about.
Well,
we're talking about Krampus that eats kids. Next minute, Dave's trying to make it a burger.
Maybe it's a burger made of kids.
What?
You ever seen a grown man naked?
From Detroit.
What's
I
up?
Was ICP last night for an hour. I know all about it.
That has nothing to do with me. Don't put that on me. I didn't.
Yeah,
I wasn't even
coming
from last night.
Oh, that's awesome. All right, check it out. Ladies and gentlemen, happy holidays to you and your family. We'll be back next Thursday rocking and rolling and whatnot here on this program. Big shout out to our good friend David Weatherly from ErieLights.com joining us here. We love that guy. He's awesome. Jeffy. Appreciate all your help today and tonight. Even though we had some bad internet, it's still great to have you as always, my friend.
I'm sure you have a great help during the day, but tonight, no.
It was definitely a hindrance in the beginning of the show, and I
just
every time I went to answer, it literally would just cut out. Like, and I was like,
did you notice? I just grabbed the ball and was like, "All right, fuck it, I'm running. I don't care."
Yeah, you were just like, "Okay, well, Jeffy's not talking, so you know."
We're
you gave me crickets a few times. I was like, "Dude, I'm sorry."
I know, but we got a show to do. We got to go.
No, I wanted to get off the phone at that point. I couldn't figure it out. Then I tried to restart the internet, and I came back, and it was, like, worse. It was, like, I couldn't hear you guys even talk for a minute. And then I signed off completely and then signed on my phone and signed back off on the fucking computer. I was, like, going back and forth for a minute trying to listen to it.
The bad thing is we got you perfect now.
That's what I know. That's what I – you know what it is? I think that somebody must have tapped my fucking internet or something, and they're, like – like, someone in the building must be using my internet.
Dave, is he know you're there or no?
What? What did you say?
Shut up, dummy.
All right, check it out. Dave, thanks for coming in and pitch Henton, brother. We appreciate it. And we're going to check out some of the gifts you're giving for your holiday gift guide. Great choices, for sure.
Awesome. Anytime, man.
You're the man, brother. Ladies and gentlemen, we will be back here next Thursday. Same Plum time, same Plum station right here on Plum Love Foods Live. Ladies and gentlemen, please remember that food is one of the most important things we have in life. Everything important in life revolves around food. Let's give it the time it deserves. We'll see you next week. Peace!
From the Tower of Power, too sweet to be sour, I'm funky like a monkey. Sky's the limit and space is the place.
Thank you for listening to Plum Love Foods Live. See you next week, good brothers and sisters.
Shut up, Demi. Shut up, Demi.
I'm waiting for the right time to change this even more.
Shut up, Demi. Shut up, Demi.
Music is producers, and that is not an option here. This is what I'm made of, and you will never, ever fear.
English, motherfucker, do you speak it?
Okay, terrific.